Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to a church that had a lot of problems. That I think you already know. One of the problems was divisions in the church. In fact, that's the first of many problems that Paul addresses. He begins talking about that in chapter 1, and he's still talking about that when we come to chapter 4, which is where we are at the moment. Now, part of the problem with the divisions, and maybe the main part of the problem, main cause of the problem, which eventuated in these divisions, had to do with the way that the people were gathering around their favorite preachers. Some said, I prefer Paul. Others said, I prefer Apollos. And others said, I prefer Peter. And they were judging their preachers, the preachers that ministered God's word to them, with faulty judgments. They were evaluating them according to human standards rather than according to the standards of God's word. And consequently, they were being drawn to and identifying with different preachers for not good biblical reasons, but for carnal reasons. And so to address this problem of divisions in the church, Paul has to give them a better understanding of ministers and their role and how they are to be regarded. And that's what happens in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Paul gives a proper view of ministers of the gospel when he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And he lays all that out, and we've covered that in previous broadcasts, and I hope you were with us, but he makes it very clear that a minister of the gospel is a servant of Christ. He serves the church, but he serves the church on assignment from Christ, and it is Christ that he is answering to. And he is a steward, a manager of the mysteries of God, which has to do with his job of handling God's word. It's like a farm manager who decides how to distribute the tools for today's work, who gets what tools and so forth, how to distribute the seed, how much goes in this field, how much goes in another field, how to distribute the supplies, how much food to give to the oxen and how much to give to the donkeys and so forth. I mean, all of these decisions are being made by a steward, a manager of the farming operation. And Paul says that's the way it is with ministers of the gospel. They are stewards of the mysteries of God. They are handling the word of God and breaking it down and distributing it to God's people. And the requirement is that they be faithful, not like the unjust steward in Luke, chapter 16, who used his position of management in order to line his own pockets rather than being faithful to manage it for the interests of his master. But the proper evaluation of a minister of the gospel is he faithful to his master Christ? Is he faithfully distributing the word of God for the honor of Christ and the benefit of God's people, not in such a way as to benefit himself? That's the way you evaluate. And so that's verses 1 and 2, a proper view of ministers. But verses 3 through 5 is a proper view of judgments. How do you make the right judgments? And that's where we're going today, which is Monday, July 5. We're glad you have joined us, and thanks for those whose financial gifts have enabled us. Paul goes on in verse 3 to say, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light both the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." A proper view of judgments. What are we told here? Well, first of all, that human judgments are inadequate. That's back to verse 3. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself." Human judgments are inadequate. Whether judgments by the Corinthian Christians or by a human court or even Paul's own personal judgment, these are all judgments by humans at various levels, and they're all inadequate. It's a very small thing, is the way Paul puts it here. "With me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you." And that's an interesting way to put it. It's a very small thing. He doesn't say, it is absolutely nothing. But he said, this is a minor consideration. Because usually human judgments are not accurate. Because human judgments are generally made using the wrong standard of judgment or judging even with the right standard without having all the facts. Because, of course, ultimately only God knows all the facts. He's the only one who knows everything that has been done or not done. He's the only one that knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's a very small thing to be judged by you or by a human court or even by myself. It's not that this is nothing, but it's pretty minor in the whole scheme of things. It's a small thing whether I should be judged, he says, by you, Corinthian Christians. Whether I should be evaluated by you, whether I should be examined or questioned by you. They were judging Paul in a way that they should not have been. And they failed to judge what they should have, as we find out later in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. For example, in chapter 5, verse 12, "For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do not you judge those who are inside?" He's talking about their failure to judge a member of their church who was living in open immorality and would not repent. They're not judging what they're supposed to judge. That was their responsibility, to judge him. But on the other hand, they feel very free to go around judging ministers of the gospel, evaluating this one, evaluating that one. "I think he ought to be doing it this way." "No, I think he ought to be doing it that way." "I think he should be adding this." "No, I think he should be doing the other." Wait a minute. Who gave you that assignment? Really now. And so it's a very small thing, says Paul. With me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. That's an interesting thought. Small thing if I would be judged by you or by a human court, which literally is by a human day. It has the idea of a preliminary court hearing. And he's telling us that even in a court of law where things are done more carefully, more according to an agreed-upon standard, a well-designed standard with requirements for evidence and so forth, but even there, human judgments are limited in their ability to get all the facts and are therefore often mistaken even when everything is done exactly as it ought to be. And, of course, we know that many times in court procedures things are not done exactly the way they ought to be. And so Paul is basically saying, look, you're judging me. You shouldn't be. It's a very small thing if I am judged deficient in my ministerial work by you. It would be a very small thing if I should be judged deficient in my ministerial assignment by human courts. That really isn't a big deal with me. In fact, he says, and this probably surprised them more than anything of all, he said, it's not even important how I judge myself. In fact, I'm going to read verse 3 again, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, though, he goes on to say, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. I do not even judge myself. Isn't that interesting? Paul is saying that when it comes to judging his own performance, his own conduct, even when his conscience is completely clear, when his conscience does not accuse him, does not judge him as being in error or deficient or defective in some way, that really doesn't matter. That really doesn't clear him. The Corinthians, some of them at least, may have judged him harshly, judged him as being blameworthy, and yet he said, even if my own conscience does not judge me in the face of other people's criticism, that's no guarantee of divine acquittal. Yet, in his words, I am not justified by this. I'm not justified by the fact that I have a clear conscience about my performance, because self-examination is not always reliable. There is no human examination that is completely reliable. Neither yours, members of the Corinthian church, or courts in a secular court of law, or myself judging my own performance. After all, Paul is perfectly well aware of the fact that before he was saved, he acquitted himself in his sinful behavior of persecuting Christians and even putting some of them to death. But his conscience didn't condemn him for that. He thought he was serving the Lord. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. He was dead wrong. So he recognizes that it's possible to be doing wrong and to have convinced yourself that you're doing right. And that's why only Christ's judgment is completely correct, and Christ's judgment is the only one that really matters. That's why he says in verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Human judgments are premature, but Christ's judgment is comprehensive, and Christ's verdict is final. We'll have to come back to that last concept again tomorrow, and I trust you'll join me. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.